Take your Bibles, if you would, this evening, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Book of Philippians. Pastor said I could, he would waive giving me an introduction this time. I guess it only takes a surgery to keep him down, but you all know me. And Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start reading verse 7 down through verse 16, but the first few verses, Paul is just listing the things that as a lost man that before he was saved, he counted as having some weight and being worth something. And verse 7 is where he tells you exactly what the Christian's attitude toward those things should be and what he's decided to do from then on. Starting to read in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. I just want to talk a few minutes this Wednesday night, and that I just, before we pray, just hearing the prayer requests and seeing the folks here, I really am thankful for the church and for the people here, and being able to share prayer requests, and it's really good to a heart after a week, after just a few days in the world. You need this, and the church is a hospital, and boy, we're just coming out of a sick and dying world, and we're just carrying a lot of the filth with us, and we need to come in and have someone diagnose us and look us over and clean us up, and we come and sit under the light of the Word of God for that. And I just trust that your heart is the same as mine, that you want to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just want to get to know Him and have fellowship with Him. And those songs that we sing should be the theme and the cry of the heart of every Christian, just to know Christ, to the cleansing wave, just to have the blood applied and to know Him and get to know Him better. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to me. You've been so good to each one here. Lord, anybody that's saved has more than enough to praise you for all eternity. Dear God, I thank you for your words, and every one of them is pure, and Father, nothing that goes out or will fall to the ground and from your word. And Lord, I just thank you for it. I pray, dear Father, that in this few minutes that Jesus Christ would be magnified, that he would increase, and that this preacher would decrease, that each one in here would decrease in their own sight, and that Jesus Christ would increase, Father. And Lord, we have no greater purpose in mind than just to please you and just to walk with you. I pray, dear Lord, that if you should see fit to interrupt this message, God, I pray that you come back even tonight. Amen. And real soon, Lord. And there's nothing that we have planned that we can't put off and wouldn't be glad to put off to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Please come back soon. Please bless the message and be pleased and happy with what goes on. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a man preacher once said the most important thing. Now, you need to watch when someone says the most important thing. There's been many people through the years that will try to make a definitive statement on something. And when they say the most, when they use the superlative, the most important, and then, or the biggest thing, and fill in the blanks, they'll make a statement. And many times they're not using their brain when they do. And to make a statement, the most important thing in this world for the child of God is your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the person that said that was reading his Bible, and I can agree with that statement. And though I don't know all that he knew, that is very true. That statement is true. Another man said, Bob Jones the First said, the best thing that a man can do, that a young man or old man can do in this life, is to know and fear God. That's the number one thing. That should be the number one thing on your list. Now, Paul, when he talks in this passage we read, he talks about winning Christ. He talks about counting all things but loss that he might win Christ. You know, and I'm sure you do, but that Paul wasn't talking about getting saved. You don't have to win salvation. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to merit it. That's a given. Paul was talking about winning Christ and getting close to Him, talking about winning His affection, as it were, about winning the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says in earlier in Philippians that though salvation is not by works, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It's God, what God works in, we have to work out. And salvation, after salvation, our service to Him should be motivated by His love for us and by what He's done for us. Now, Paul's not talking about his salvation, but his strife to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be transformed, as we heard just this Sunday night in Romans chapter 12, to be transformed and then to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be more like his Savior. Now, Paul talks about things behind, things he left behind, and we're just going to... The last time I preached in Florida, I preached on putting Christ first, and I used the example of leftovers. I used food, because they're all Southerners, and that's pretty much what they can understand. I'm just kidding there, but I used an example. I used something to liken it to. Now, tonight, I trust y'all are a little bit more educated, and so I decided to pick high school algebra. And I know how favorite that subject that must be, but someone told me that you could find a sermon in anything, and so I've set out to prove them wrong, but so far I haven't. And this is what I got from high school algebra. Now, you get that thought in your mind, and in algebra in high school we learned graphing, and we had to learn certain postulates about graphing. Postulates are just truths, certain things that were unchangeable. That makes sense, right? In everything you have to have some sort of final authority. But basically a number graph, and you would plot a course on that chart from one number to another number, and you use a ruler, a straight edge, and you plotted that line using an equation of some sort. All right. Now, I don't remember enough, and I didn't even want to study enough to go back and give you an example. But hopefully, you all have some idea of what that is, or remember it vaguely. And all I'm going to talk about is plotting a course between two points. You know, this has kind of been made generic in this day by, you know, the God connection, or, you know, the purpose-driven life, something like that, where it's you and it's God and it's how you get to God. And that's basically what I'm going to be preaching tonight, is just how you get to be more like Jesus Christ. And the things in that example, a lot of things apply to just the Christian life, to getting from point A to point B. And that's what you're trying to do if you boil it down to it. Down to one thing, you're trying to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to get close to Him. Nothing else really matters. There's something to remember. Nothing else really matters. No other points on the chart matter but you and the Lord Jesus Christ. No other points matter. Now, that's later in the lesson, or in the sermon here, but first off, things behind. Now, look at Paul, what he says. He counted all things but loss. Now, you can say that real easy, but then to think about it is amazing. Paul counted his bonds as loss. Now, most of us can say, whew, thank goodness, because I don't have bonds, and I'm really glad Paul just, you know, shrugged those off. He counted his bonds but loss, but he counted his brothers, his family, but loss, his brothers in Christ, his brothers not in Christ, but his brothers physically, his brothers the Jews, and his brethren, according to his lineage, counted it all but loss. Even his brothers in Christ, he has brothers in Christ, because when it comes down to it, as I said before, your purpose is to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and what somebody else thinks about it is secondary. Now, if you're doing right, you may get talked about and you may not like to be talked about. Something may come up that some gossip or rumor may come up that you're doing wrong and you're not doing wrong. If you're doing right, nothing else matters but the Lord Jesus Christ. He counted his brothers, he counted his brain, his intellect, counted it but loss. Oh, that some of us could get that through our brain, that God doesn't need it. Sometimes he can't use it. Sometimes we're educated beyond our intelligence and there's no use for that mass of gray matter up there. If you could just wipe it and get it out of the way, get yourself out of the way. He counted his background, as the passage says, he counted it but loss. Everything he'd learned, everything he'd done, all his accomplishments, but loss when it came to his fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, those things may help you get a job. Those things may help you raise a family. Worldly wisdom may help you establish yourself and provide for yourself in this world. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one word Paul uses is all, A-L-L, that's everything, but loss that he may win Christ. Now, if those things could have helped Paul closer to Jesus Christ, you know that he used them. You know that Paul, when he stood before kings, when he stood before Agrippa, that his brain wasn't dead. He used his intellect. The Lord used his intellect to witness. And if any of those things can be used in the line of getting closer to the Lord and in the line of God's will, they can and will be. But if not, count them but loss. Now, your distance from God physically is measured in miles. That's pretty obvious. We're sitting here and we know that God physically is somewhere up in the third heaven, and our distance is measured in miles. Now, in our distance from God in our soul is measured, well, it's not measured. There is no distance. The Bible says we're seated together with Him in heavenly places. We're with Him right now. A part of us is up there with Him right now. We're part of His body. But spiritually, in your fellowship with Jesus Christ, that is measured by time. It's measured by seconds, minutes, hours, days. That's how it's measured. And to think of being with Christ and being close to Him is a great thing, but how close are you to Him? Do you know about Him? Do you think about Him as much as He thinks about you? Do you love Him in the light of how much He loves you? How close are you to the Lord Jesus Christ? And it's measured in time. Time is one of those things, though, as a measurement, it can't be reclaimed. An inch, I think of football, when a play goes by and they lose 5 yards. 5 yards, the distance can be regained. But 5 seconds? Boy, 5 seconds are much more precious than 5 yards. You can't get back 5 seconds. You can't get back 5 minutes. You can't get back 5 hours. You can regain 5 yards, 5 miles, 5 lengths the distance of the United States, but you can't get back 5 seconds. It's precious, and this is an important thing. It's why I'm telling you this. Now look at things concerning this line. We're going to look at some postulates, and these are taken basically right from my high school books, and you'll recognize them, maybe you won't, but a straight line is the shortest distance between 2 points. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's easy to remember. I can figure that one out. I'm not real bright, but I know that if you want to get from point A to point B, you don't draw a heart. You don't draw a circle. You don't draw a square. You draw a straight line, and you get from point A to point B the fastest. To make a straight line, you need a ruler. That's pretty obvious, and you know where I'm going with this. To make a straight line, you must have a ruler. You must have something to guide that line by. You're wanting to find... Some of you, I hope, are trying to find the Lord's will for your life, or you know it and you're trying to continue in it. You can't do any of those things without having a guide to go by, without having the Word of God. If it wasn't given, we would have no guide to go by. There's the illustration goes that an artist came before a king, and his name was mentioned, and I forget it, but he came before a king, and the king wanted a demonstration of his artistic abilities. And he provided the canvas and the brushes and everything, and the artist stood before the king, and all he did was draw a perfect circle freehand. Now, I know by experience how hard that is. I can show you sheets of paper where I've tried to draw a circle freehand. That's hard to do. And it may not seem like much, but that's an impressive thing. Now, apply that spiritually and try to draw a straight line. There isn't a man yet that has ever drawn a straight line freehand that ever survived, that ever made anything. Every man that drew a line from himself to God, made any sort of straight line, was guided and had a second hand helping him, that was the hand of God. No man can draw the straight line that's needed. God requires perfection. We learned about the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And you know, there's three things mentioned there, but there's only two wills of God. There's what God will allow you to do and what God wants you to do. And it goes like this. There are a lot of good things you can do that aren't acceptable to God. There are a lot of acceptable things you may do that won't be perfect with God. But if you do what is perfect, if you follow God's perfect will, then you do what is good and what is acceptable. That's how it works. The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're in God's perfect will, you're doing good and you're doing acceptable. You can mark it down. But there, just think of it this way. How does a lost man do any good? Well, sure, he does good. And is that God's will? Well, it's God's will, but it's God just allows him to do that. God has no influence in a lost man's life as far as guiding his spirit. But when a man gets saved and he does good, it's acceptable with God. But then to be perfect with God is doing what God wants you to do every time and exactly how he tells you to do it. We're talking about drawing the straight line. As I said before, a straight line needs only two points. To plot a line, you only need you and the Lord. And in this universe, that's the only people that matter for eternity, is you and your attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first commandment. Now, there's a second commandment, that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And you all know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm going to focus on the first commandment, because as much as I love you all, I love the Lord Jesus more, and I hope that you'll love the Lord Jesus more at the end of this and love me less. If I have to look like a fool to make you love the Lord Jesus Christ, that's fine with me. And then my purpose would be accomplished. Now, the start. What is the start? What is a point? All right, a point is the beginning of a line. It's where two lines cross. Now, where you get your start is at the cross. If there's someone in here that's not saved, you can't start making your connection with God or start getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ in any place other than the cross. That's where you have to start. There has to be an intersection of your will, in your own will and your own mind as the lost person. You want to go to hell, because the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. God's will is for you to go to heaven. Your will and His will crossed at one point. If you're saved and you decided, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ, and now you're bound for heaven. That's just how it works. It begins at a cross. Now, like I was saying, God's not a pragmatist. Just because something works doesn't make it right. Just because going to church works for you doesn't make it right. Now, I say that as the extreme example, because the Lord tells us about how we should conduct ourselves, but are you willing for that part of your life to be influenced by the Lord? Now, if someone came to me and said, well, I believe it's the Lord's will for me not to go to church ever again, I would know something is wrong because of what the Bible says. But in that extreme example, what part of your life is being held back from the Lord, where it's got to be what He wants you to do at a certain time? Now, you have a certain time of the day where you pray and read your Bible. If you were to eat up all your time for praying and reading your Bible with Bible reading, would you be doing the Lord's perfect will? If you prayed the entire time you should be reading your Bible, would you be doing the Lord's perfect will? Now, that sounds almost sacrilegious. Who could think that, well, if I pray over, you know, if I pray longer, that must mean I'm more spiritual? Well, if you sacrifice doing something else that's right, if you sacrifice reading your Bible for that, what have you gained? You haven't gained anything. You're going backwards. Now, when the Lord tells you to do something, witnessing, for example, there's only a short time. Like I said, you can't reclaim 5 seconds. You can't go back on that. When the Lord puts it in your heart, say something, open your mouth, please, and then He's gone. The Holy Spirit is not a forcer. He desires, He wills, and He wishes, but He won't push you to do what's right. He speaks in a still, small voice. And once the Holy Spirit's quenched, He's gone. Now you read, quench not the Holy Spirit, and you think of that as being a long distance of time. Well, if you lose the Lord for 5 seconds, What is that? That's 5 seconds lost. If you quench him for 5 seconds, maybe in that one area, for that time where the Lord said, pass that, give that tract out, you didn't do it. The Lord was displeased with you for just a short time, for just a short moment, but you'll see that short moment again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And the Lord is not pushed for time that he can't go over every second of your life throughout eternity. Think about it. I'm saying that the most important thing in this life and in this world for you is to maintain a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Now, drawing the line. I'm trying to keep it two-dimensional here because a three-dimensional lesson wouldn't run in just 30 minutes. It would run a long, long time. But some problems along the way is not drawing the line at all. You could start and never go anywhere. You could start off, but you have no aim. You have no rule, and you have no aim. You're going the wrong way, just going wherever you want to. Try drawing the line on the plotting your course on a chart freehand. That's exactly what you'll get. You'll get every man a turn to his own way. How about going the wrong way with a goal, with a desire in mind, just the wrong one? You may be plotting a straight line and be full steam ahead, but you're aiming at the wrong thing. You've been deceived into thinking something else is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. And obstacles, of course, crosses in the path. Now, those things aren't important. The Bible talks about bearing your cross. And a good description of that is where your will crosses the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've said before. And that happens a lot in the Christian life. No man is ever... If you get to a point where you think, well, I haven't really felt any conviction for a long, long time, then you may not be moving anywhere. I'm not saying you're not, but you may not be moving anywhere because crosses are a common thing. What is it? It's the Lord going to push you to see who you love. Abraham was going along. He was doing just fine until the Lord appeared to him and said, I want your son. I want him dead on top of Mount Moriah, burning. Now, you don't think of it that way because the Lord said, I want you to give him as a sacrifice. But that would have been the end of his son. That's the picture flashed in Abraham's mind. If that's not a cross, I don't know what is. That's a crossing of wills. But Abraham bent to the will of God. He bowed to it. That's what you're going to have to do every day as the crosses come up. Now, sometimes we make a mistake, and Christians in general make a mistake of each other, thinking that everybody wants to get close to God, and then a lot of preaching is directed toward people already going out on the way. But I'm not... How do I want to say this? I am naive in a lot of things, but I'm not naive enough to think that everybody just is dying to serve the Lord. Now, I hate to say that in this church here or in front of any group of people, but I know that there's somebody out there, and you may be looking at me right now, and I don't know your heart, but you are just interested in doing what's good for right now, what'll get you by, and that's it. And when it's not convenient, you'll stop serving. You may go to church for the rest of your life, but you're only going to be doing it because it's convenient. You're not going to be doing it out of a submitted will to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a good habit's better than a bad habit. I'll say that. But a habit is a habit nonetheless, and it has no bent to the will. Now, I said it. Now, what's another problem? It's compromise. I was at Cedar Point just last Saturday with my brother and with Ashley for Randy's birthday, and we had a great time, roller coasters and screaming and stuff. And that isn't my idea of a fun day, just so you know. I don't know what I'd rather do, anything but ride, you know, the dragster, you know, and have to wait, and you see these people screaming, and then you see it where it doesn't go all the way over and they fall back. Oh yeah, that's not what I like to see. But you know, we were standing in a line, and I think it was the longest one. It was about an hour and a half. We stood in line waiting for the dragster. It was the worst thing that I've ever experienced, I think. But in that, while there, I got into conviction. I saw a lot of people there, and thoughts started going through my mind, and I started thinking about the great white throne judgment. I thought, man, this line's long, but can you imagine standing in line to stand before God, you know? And thoughts started going through my mind, and the Lord came to me, like I said, He'd come to me, and like he'd come to you, and said, say something. You've got a lot of people that aren't going anywhere, and it won't hurt you to say something, you know. And they're not listening to anything in particular. The music's up, but it's not too loud. Say something. Well, what did I do? You know what? I'm not going to tell you what I did because I compromised. And although I may have did something good, I compromised. And you may be tempted the next time you're in line at Cedar Point to do what I did and think you're doing good, but you'll be compromising. I compromised. I didn't do what the Lord told me. I didn't do 100% of what the Lord told me to do while standing in that line. I compromised. You know what? There's no place for compromise when you're trying to get close to the Lord. Boy, that looking back on that, that was an hour and a half of my life compromised. You can't trace somebody else's line. That's a point I want to make, is if I'd have told you what I did, you'd have thought, well, the preacher did it, you know, and pastor tells you things he does, and all, I know always in his it's an illustration one way or the other, but if it's in spiritual things, a lot of times your mind goes to, well, if he did it, I'll just do it just like he does it. That'll make it right. That'll make it spiritual, and that'll make it pleasing to God. You have to be listening to what the Lord tells you to do. Now, I know what the Lord told me to do. I didn't do it. Now, what I did may have been good in a lot of people's eyes, but it wasn't 100%. There's no place for compromise. Now, walk in the line. You can't just trace someone else's line, like I said. But listen, it's never wrong to go as far as you can on the right road with anybody. It's never wrong to go as far as you can on the right road with anybody. But it's always wrong. It's always wrong to go any distance on the wrong road with anybody. Now, you see the change there. It's the right road and the wrong road. No matter who you're with or where or who's following or who's joining in or who's supportive, the right road and the wrong road. That's what you need to keep in mind. That's what Bob Jones Sr. said. Another thing he said is my next point. The only things that you're entitled to as a believer in this life are the things you receive doing God's will for your life. Now, those are where points, things cross your path along that line. Other points. Now, other points may be a job. Other points may be your wife. Other points may be your ministry. Other points may be going to Bible school. Or other points may be buying a car or attaining a car or being given some gifts. They may be in the line. That's not your goal. That's not where you want to stop. You don't want to stop shooting for something, shooting for a status in life. You want to be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the things that fall to you in that path, whether they be good or bad, are the only things you're entitled to. And anything you get outside of that are not yours, and they're not to be given to you. And they will be taken away. The judgment seat of Christ will right a lot of wrongs. And listen, I'm not talking about wrote things of right and wrong morality. I trusted most people in here are very moral people, and I understand that, and I know that. It's not morality. It's doing what God wants you to do when you have an option of other good things to do. Doing exactly what the Lord wants you to do and following the straight line. Now, as far as the world goes, you know the world will have some influence, and I think of flying as a prime example. When you're trying to draw a straight line, this is a 3D example, if you would, but when the winds of this world blow, you have to turn into the wind in order to make that straight line, and in order to draw that straight course. You have to make some correction for it. They call it crabbing. Lord help us that we could be a little bit more crabby towards this world and get in the world's face a little bit so we could draw that straight line so we could get to where we're going the way the Lord wants us to. Otherwise, a compass will point you the right way, but you'll make a nice loop-de-loop trying to get where you're going, but you'll not reach it straight, and you'll not reach it quickly. Sometimes you have to crab into the world. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sure, that's the lost person. But did you have any idea of the things that can happen to a Christian? We're going to read just in verse 18. Of a Christian, of some things that can happen to a Christian that aren't going to result in a happy ending. Now, there's always a happy ending as far as heaven goes, and there once eternity hits, boy, it's going to be good, nothing but good. But in this life, a Christian can get for himself damnation. 1 Timothy chapter 5. A Christian can get damnation. A Christian can live in pleasure and be dead while he or she lives. According to 1 Timothy chapter 5, a Christian can follow after Satan and be a Christian and go to heaven when he dies and follow after Satan. Let's read verse 18. I'm almost finished. We've just read about, you know what Paul says, he counted all things but loss, and he's pushing forward and he's pushing to attain the mark of the prize, the high calling of God, and he's following the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 12, but I follow after. He's following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one you can follow. Like I said, you can follow anybody as long as they're following the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they divert, it becomes sin to you. Whether or not they're doing right or not, if the Lord Jesus Christ has told you something to do, you're not doing it, then it becomes sin unto you. All right? Paul encourages other believers to be followers together in me, and so mark them which to walk as ye have us for an ensample. In verse 17, now in verse 18, for many walk. Now, they could be lost people, but I take it that if someone's walking and spiritually, like Enoch walked with God, and that's how I take this here, if they're walking, then they're saved. They've got some kind of a spiritual walk that's acknowledged by the Lord. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You say saved people? Yeah, I believe there are a lot of saved people that do a lot more damage to the cause of Jesus Christ and to winning souls than a lost person does, because they're supposed to be in. Hypocrites? How many of you have heard there are hypocrites in the church, you know, in the last 10 years? Boy, in the last week I've heard that many, many times. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. What'd they do? They had the wrong goal. They had the wrong aim. Whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They let other points matter to them. They let getting what they wanted matter to them rather than pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's the goal, is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. And when he comes, he won't find you, and you won't be ashamed where he finds you and when he finds you. He's coming back. You know, you may look to death, and you may put death off 15, 20 years, maybe 5 years, but years are nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. He could come back at any instant. And your life is not going to be measured out in years. It's measured out today what you do. And every day you live, whether or not the Lord comes back, it'll be reviewed when he does. It's going to be the goal. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. The way you walk the line. Now, trying to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, I liken it in my mind. And I'm simplifying. I know high school algebra is probably not the best thing to liken fellowship with the Lord to, but I like to ride my bike, and I like to try new things, and sometimes that gets me hurt, sometimes it doesn't. But I like to ride with no hands when I have a good straightaway, you know. And I know that's probably not the wisest thing to do. But you know what I found out about riding with no hands? Now this is walking by faith. You don't have any hands on it. You're riding by faith. And so I thought, well, I can get some kind of a lesson out of this. And I did. The Lord showed me this, is that when you're going, the tendency is to get fixated on the front wheel of that bike, because you're watching that, because as soon as it starts to wobble, then your heart jumps into your throat and, you know, you have to grab the wheel and take it back again. But the way to ride with no hands, if you're on a straightaway or wherever you're going, is to look ahead, is to look out, have the long look. If I can look even 20 feet, 30 feet ahead and know where I'm going, even that far ahead, I don't have to pay attention to the front tire. When it starts to move, then I can know and I can correct it and get it right, you know, and I can keep on riding that straight line with no hands. But, you know, you get fixated on the nearer things, the things that are more important to you, the things that determine your life or death. That front wheel is the life or death of a bike rider, trust me, especially some places I ride. It's your life or death, and you start fixating on those things, but you forget that God's the one with the power of life and death in his hand, and whatever takes your life is going to be in his hand anyways. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews says, the author and finisher, the beginning and end. He started at the cross, and he'll end it with the crown. if we're faithful. Now, 1 Timothy 6. Here's the things that you could preach another message on. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. Just like Paul said, he was following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the things in that line. And any of these things you find in trying to get close to the Lord, these are the right things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. There's your goal. There's the end of it. Now what does it start with? Following after righteousness, peace, love, those things we just read. That's where it is. That's where you're at right now, following after those things. Where does it end up? It ends up in glory. And now you say, well, I'll end up in glory no matter which way I go. You can think that, and that's true. And you know what? I can't change that. I can't say no to that. And I'm not so carnal to try and change your mind about your eternal security just so you'll live right. Because I found that if people don't want to live right, no matter what you tell them, it doesn't matter whether or not they're eternally secure or not. If you don't want to do right, I can't make you do right. And I tell you what, God can't make you do right either. The line consists of your will and bending it to God's will. I hope that what I've said has been, you've been able to understand. I know, like I said, it's not the best analogy, high school algebra and the things you learn, but it's just simple things. If you want to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, just walk the straight line. Just walk the narrow line. Just go straight and let nothing else matter but that which the Lord puts in your path, and that which He tells you to do, do it. And the things that He tells you not to do, whether you think they're right or wrong, just don't do them. Just obey. Trust and obey. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I've asked Shannon to play number 445, Friendship with Jesus. Through one last verse, and just pray and hope that in your heart you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that the fellowship with Him isn't a heavy cross. His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and it's the most wonderful thing you could ever have or experience after salvation, is just being close to the Lord Jesus Christ. In prayer, or close how you see fit.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the time we've had to gather here. We thank you, Father, always for any time your word is open. We thank you for Brother Lewis and his dedication to you. And we pray, God, you continue to bless him and his ministry. We thank you for the word tonight. Pray you speak to our hearts. Challenge us, Father, to set our points clear, to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Dismiss us tonight with your blessing. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.